As we dive into God's Word this morning, I invite you to Ephesians chapter 1. In your own copy of God's Word, Ephesians chapter 1. You can also go to the church app, Church Center. The app's called Church Center if you don't have it yet. And then when you download it, you can just choose Manor Church, and you'll right there you'll see notes and scriptures and questions that can prompt your own growth in Christ in the coming week. One of my favorite relatives growing up was Grace Gabby. Grace Gabby. Here she is holding my Grandma Hall. This picture gives me chills. Holding my Grandma Hall when Grandma's just a little tiny one, baby toddler age, and Grace was a little bit older, and this is Alan, my grandma's older brother. They were thick. Grace and my grandma, Janet, were thick. They were cousins, but they were thick as thieves growing up. I mean, just so close as family, did everything together. They were like sisters, even though they were cousins. I mean, just so close. And then this is Grace right here, 5 decades later, at my mom's high school graduation in 1967, okay? And everybody in this picture, in some way or another, ended up having a legacy footprint in my life, the echo into my life. I look back on it and I realize it's profound. So even now, as you think about your kids and your grandkids and your greats, consider that. Beware, because you leave a footprint in great big ways. Everybody here did that. Well, Grace was just incredible lady. I got to know her later on in her senior years. By the time I came along, she would show up for Thanksgivings and other special festivities for the family. And she was one of those relatives, whenever Grace arrived, just the place just lit up. I mean, it was just that she was just that kind of lady. I mean, she had pizzazz, she had spunk, she told stories from yesteryear, she made everybody laugh. She kept Bill in line all the time. I mean, this poor guy, oh my goodness. She kept him in line, she kept all of us in line. She had purple hair before it was hip trendy to have purple hair, you know. She was. Grace just made us laugh, she told stories. She and Bill loved Jesus like crazy. They were involved in their local community in upper state, New York State, near Buffalo. They loved Jesus. They loved on their community. They loved their local church. They just, oh my goodness, they were an incredible couple. And as I was growing up, I learned that I could call her Amazing Grace. I did. I called her Amazing Grace to her face, and she would smile and call me John Boy and stuff like that. Amazing Grace. You know, Grace is more than a wonderful girl's name. It is. It's more than unique poise or cultural skill. We tend to think somebody's graced if they know how to use the right silverware at a fancy meal. We think somebody has grace, or we might sometimes talk about a young lady who can walk very proper and carry books on her head like she's, you know, someone gracious, a person of grace. Grace is so much more. It's actually one of those key repeated terms that I encouraged you back on week one to really watch for. If you were here on week one, or you watched online later on, if you joined in with us, you know, I shared that week that one of our big breakthroughs in really understanding God's Word is watching for key repeated terms. And grace is one of those terms, really big to the Apostle Paul, especially in the book of Ephesians, in the letter to the Ephesians. He opens the letter with it. He closes the letter with it. He's really, really big on grace. Right here in this opening cluster of verses, grace is on display, big repeated term for the Apostle Paul. Our biblical focus this morning is on verses 7 and 8. Verses 7 and 8. Will you read them aloud with me? Let's read it aloud together. Let's read it, full voice. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Who do you think you are? We've been asking that question all across this series. Who do you think you are? I gotta tell you this morning, it's so important as we go into a brand new week that can be full of obstacles, that can be full of opportunities. It's so important that we know anew We are lavished with grace in Christ. You are lavished with grace in Christ. It's so important. We walk into the week, we go out into the week, and it's so important. You gotta know anew that you are lavished with grace in Christ. That's easy to forget these days. The lavish grace, the amazing grace, the wonderful grace of Jesus for us. What sets the stage? Sets the stage for our redemption and forgiveness, that ransom, that freedom paid for by Christ, Jesus' blood that Randy taught us about last week. What sets the stage? How? Why is such redemption and forgiveness possible? St. Paul employs a common but witty, very witty preposition that translates as according to or in accordance with. In accordance with. This coincides, it matches, it flows from the context, from the heart, from the very nature and character of, notice it, the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace. Now let's break that down. Let's break that down. Riches. Riches can equal literal wealth. Yes, in ancient times, this term was used to refer to literal wealth. Who's the wealthiest person you personally know? Don't stare at them if they're in the room. You might embarrass them. Who's the wealthiest person you personally know? Now, we all know wealthy people at a distance. Years ago, we all learned to chuckle about Oprah, because she hit the big time, right, with her big show and all her stuff and everything. And what we got, we learned to laugh about Oprah. You get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car. And some of you wonder, why don't we ever do that in church? You know? Some of you are like, come on, bring it on. You get a car, and you get a car. But this term is used figuratively, as it is right here. Figuratively speaking of something even better. Of divine abundance, immense, immense spiritual resources. And Paul loves this concept. Right here, and also in chapter 1, verse 18, where he says, the riches of his, our Father's glorious inheritance. And in chapter 3, verse 16, where he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. In your inner being. Who do you think you are? As we go out into a new week, it's crucial, it's vital. You gotta know anew that you are lavishly graced in Christ. You gotta know anew you are lavishly graced in Christ, because it's so easy for us to forget it. The shadow descends and the sky seems so cloudy. More than ever, we need to know it. We are incredibly lavished with grace in Christ. Now, what Paul is doing here is pointing to the rich abundance of one of God's foundational character qualities. One of God's foundational character qualities, grace. Grace. Now, there's common grace. Common grace. We realize that right now. Kind provision. Resources. We think about them in a punctuated way right now during November as we move toward Thanksgiving. Common grace. Kindness, gifts like food. Sunshine. Color in the leaves. Flannel shirts. I love flannel shirts. Coffee, a solid job. You know, there's common grace like that. And then there's special grace, like Paul is spotlighting right here, special grace. And a very fine definition of special grace goes like this. God's blow us away kindness that rescues our souls and transforms us. The kind of kindness all on our own we just don't deserve. Hear that again. Special grace. The grace that Paul's spotlighting right here is God's blow-us-away kindness, kindness that rescues our souls and transforms us, the kind of kindness all on our own we just do not deserve. Now, often people think grace, and we tend to think like, well, that started with the New Testament. You know, there was all that old stuff, and then grace arrives when Jesus arrives with the New Testament. Not exactly. The truth is, it's as old as God's own character. Grace is as old as God's own character, core to the very fiber of his person. In Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, God passed in front of Moses and proclaimed of his name, of his character, the Lord, Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate and what? And what? What? Gracious God. Gracious God. Paul is often described as the apostle of grace. The apostle of grace. He was personally so blown away. His own life had been a collision course with sin and hatred and murder. But then Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and totally altered his life. Consider some more grace highlights further across Ephesians. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 4. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich, there's the word again, rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches, there it is again, riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Who do you think you are? You got to know. As we go out into a new week, you got to know we are lavishly graced in Christ Jesus. It's gift. All gift. And think about it. Paul says we were dead, but we're made alive. It's like you went swimming one day. And so sadly, while you were swimming, you went down in a pool or lake. You went down and you sunk desperately to the bottom. And you were drowning. Good, it's gone. But someone jumped in, dove to the bottom, and pulled you to rescue, and you were unresponsive, and so they did mouth to mouth. And at the last second, you gasped. And you expelled water, and you started to breathe again. You had been a goner, good as dead, on the bottom of the pool, and you were brought back to life. What a gift. What a gift. And there's a profound sense in which that's true, very true, as Paul describes grace. That's grace. But it's not all. It's not all from Paul's perspective. That's not the totality of grace. Notice how Paul says, lavished, lavished. He showered it. It's not a trickle. It's not even just a steady stream. No, it's profuse. It's generous. It might look something like this. Take a look. Most of you are laughing because you've been on one side of that garden hose or the other, or both during your lifetime. I know it. You know, grace is surprising. Grace is surprising. This word lavished in ancient lingo means to be extraordinary. remarkable, more than enough to be present in abundance. So much so that the given space where it invades can't contain it. And it's often linked to this term rich. They often go together. It's overflowing. It's like the dad here with the garden hose, or it's like being at a waterfalls where you climb in under it and you just stand there and let it cascade over you again and again and again. If you've ever gone to a waterfalls and let it do that, you know. It just blows you away. Keeps showering down. There's more with grace. There's always more with grace. Paul sees grace as operative for a life of growth, life of service. So for meaningful work, grace is there. For daily strength and focus and purpose. He gets after it here in his overflow statement in verses 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Grace supplies the overflow for all we do. Notice again, this is in Christ Jesus. You are graced. You are created anew in Christ. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? As we move into a new week with new obstacles and new opportunities, you've got to know you are lavishly graced in Christ. And then in chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, Paul says it like this: I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people. I mean, Paul stays humble, he stays grounded, he stays realistic about who he is. I'm less than the least of all the Lord's people. This grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. There it is, that lavish, rich, flowing grace. In chapter 4, Paul attaches grace to the spiritual gifts. Yes, the spiritual gifts. And its culmination to Paul's app across chapters 4 through 6, he concludes his letter with verse 24, grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. He starts the letter with grace. He ends the letter with grace. It wraps all of the goodness of God. What will you do in response? What will you do in response to such abundant, overflowing grace? It's the faith question. It truly is. It's the faith question. Are you employing faith? That's how you access grace. Remember, for by grace you are saved through faith. The waterfall is there. The water hose, the gushing grace of God is there. But you got to stand in front of the hose. You got to be willing to receive it. You got to be willing to accept it. You got to respond. Are you employing faith? Who do you think you are? You got to know anew that you're lavishly graced in Christ. And faith is the operative choice and growing response. Our journey of trust. You deeply trust and you keep deeply trusting more and more. So what will you do? What will you do today and into this week as you go into the obstacles and the opportunities this week? What will you do? Well, I want to challenge you. First, experience grace. Experience grace. Put yourself in front of the flow of the garden hose. Put yourself under the waterfalls. Experience grace by trusting Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Decide you'll receive it. The grace is always there. The grace is always available. But you've got to decide for it. Choose for it. We all need it. We all need it. Our own sinful hearts as humans are really sneaky. In humans' nature, we're crafty and deceptive from the earliest of ages. Zach Lambert tweeted this week about he and his wife walking into the room to discover that their 3-year-old had drawn on his wife's library book. His wife said, "Why did you color on my book?" Their three-year-old said, I didn't. Mom said, yes, you did. I saw you. It's obvious. It's colored on. Why did you do that? Their three-year-old said, it was an accident. Mom said, no, it wasn't. Why did you do that? The three-year-old said, because of COVID? True story. Three-year-olds are witty and they're listening. Our hearts are tricky. Sin is deceptive at every age. We need grace. We need grace because of twisted motives and because of gossip and grace because of greed and grace because of adultery and grace because of evil addictions and lies and slander and bitterness and stealing and treacherous and unethical choices. We need grace. We need grace because of hatred that we harbor in our hearts and because of divisiveness and racism, and the list only grows bigger. As we ponder humanity's bent and the bent of our own hearts. Unfortunately, Paul says, where sin abounded, grace abounded more. Grace was that much bigger. It's the feast of forgiveness. It's the wondrous table for salvation. So will you pull up a chair? Pull up a chair to the table and receive. Accept and believe and experience grace. Jesus' amazing grace. Will you trust Christ who poured out his blood on the cross to forgive you and create you anew? And if you want to step into that grace today, if you want to respond in faith today, when we're done in a few minutes, come, please come. This will be a place of grace. And you can come and talk with one of the prayer team. We'd love to talk with you and help you experience more of that grace. Experience grace. I also want to challenge you to exude gratitude. Exude gratitude for grace. Say thanks for it. As we enter into the heart of November, we can let our gratitude overflow for common, everyday graces, the stuff of coffee and flannel shirts and colorful leaves and even rainy days. Everyday graces. Let today's focus inspire you to build your lists of both the everyday physical graces and the rich spiritual graces, those rich reserves of strength and hope that Christ Jesus supplies. Get ready, because 2 weeks from now, November 21, we're going to have open mics and the opportunity to share words of praise and thanks along with baptisms that day. I encourage you to come. Come ready. Build your list of exuding gratitude. Experience grace. Exude gratitude for grace. And I want to challenge you to express grace toward others. Express grace toward others. How? Well, it's crucial to ask, do you wear a grace face and share grace space? Do you wear a grace face and deliberately craft grace spaces? Have you noticed how some people just have a grace face? Have you noticed that? While others look like their diet is prunes and vinegar? Yeah. How about it? Are you growing into more of a grace face? Yeah, we're in a season where we need a lot more grace and a lot less grump. A lot more grace right now. And a lot less grump. The people you live with need that. The people you work with need that. The people you go to church with need that. More grace, less grump. Express the grace. Paul Tripp says, it makes no sense to celebrate the gift of God's grace and at the same time be judgmental and condemn the people in your life. No sense, Tripp says. We need grace faces, and we need to become experts at crafting grace places. Express the gratitude. So let's make sure we're growing sweeter and kinder and exuding grace. And express it with your words, not just your face, not just crafting beautiful places, but with your words. Share the message of truth. Are you ready daily this week to share the message of amazing grace, the message of truth? Are you expectant that God may bring people across your path as you pray, as you're watching, that you have the opportunity to share the gospel message, to be fluent in the gospel, to be fluent in the grace of God. Are you ready to tell your own story this week? Oh, don't overcomplicate it. Here's what my life was like before Jesus. Here's how I encountered Jesus. And here's how I'm growing right now. Here's what my life was like. Here's how I encountered Jesus. And here's how I'm growing in his grace right now. Be ready to express. Express grace to others like that. Express it with your words. Express grace with your time. Oh, it's too easy to default toward stingy with our time and always rushed. You notice how we're all always busy. I'm busy. Hey, great to see you. I'm busy and I'm on to the next thing. How about actually settling in? Settling in a little more this week for generosity with your presence. Generous grace with your time. And yes, express it with your money. Get tangible about it, letting generosity overflow. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul explodes the concept of gracious giving, and he says that to a body of believers all together, aiming toward something all together that shares the love of Christ and the gospel of Christ. And he says, this is the overflow. We give abundantly, we give generously, surprisingly, realizing we've been graced by our surprising, kind, generous God. If you really realize how much that garden hose has cleaned you up, if you really realize how much God's grace has flowed toward you, you can't help but become more generous with your words and with your time and with your financial resources and with all you have, with your gifts. How about your own gifts? And Paul delivers his app. He says this in Ephesians 4, 7 through 11. But here's the synopsis. But to each of us, grace has been given. And he's speaking of our spiritual gifts. What you're good at because God gave you that gift. What you're good at. How you shine. What you're really good at. God gave you that. Are you being generous with it? Are you sharing it to make a tangible difference in people's lives? Notice, so Christ himself gave. Christ himself gave. Who do you think you are? You got to know. As you walk into brand new opportunities this week and obstacles, you got to know you are lavishly graced in Christ. One more challenge. One more thing I got to challenge you with, and then we're done this morning. Extra grow in grace. Step into extra grow in grace. Powerful that St. Peter closes his second epistle with these words, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace. And Paul closes this letter to the Ephesians with words we saw a few moments ago. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Wondrous to realize grace is not a one and done commodity in God's economy. You experience it, receive it, gush gratitude, express it, and keep growing because it's just at the core of who God is and how he interacts with us as his kids. It's just at the core of who God is. And when you keep getting closer and closer with Jesus and you let Jesus' life affect your life even more, what happens? You just can't help but be more gracious. You just can't help but let that grace overflow. Yeah, you go grabbing more garden hoses and you get after other people with the grace of God. Grace is how you keep growing. That's grace. Who do you think you are? As we go into a week full of big obstacles and some great opportunities, you gotta know. You gotta let yourself be motivated by the reality that you're lavishly graced in Christ. My own history involves lavish grace from my dad and mom. Unique grace in the arena of automobiles. Yeah, cars. Some of you have heard me tell stories about my younger years with cars. I got to thinking about this week because I now have three young men who drive in our house, two of them up and out, by 5 years, coming up on 6 years, and one in the learning process. But the two older ones, I got to thinking about it, and they each had their early years driving oopses. They had, each of them had accidents early on that weren't their fault. Anybody else have kids? This is the case. You had accidents. Okay, you know what I'm talking about? All right. And they survived. They lived to tell about it, which we praise Jesus for. I started thinking about my own opening 5 years of driving. Some of you have heard me tell the stories. I quickly did a synopsis. When it came to my early days, now consider this, my own sons each had one accident. My early days, my opening 5 years of driving, it seems I had mishap and crash after crash after crash. No joke. Here's the synopsis. There was my dad's little Toyota pickup. I had been learning to drive in it. I overheated the engine, blew the engine. My fault. There was the little Datsun Nissan, little two-door Datsun Nissan I was driving around, and I collided with someone coming across the parking lot, crunched it. My fault. There was my aunt's brand new Buick she had loaned to me for senior weekend. I did fine with it until the morning I parked it in our driveway and went out and got in my little 76 Chevy Chevette that had rust all over it, and I went to back up, and my brake pedal snapped, slammed into the side of my aunt's brand new Buick. Not my fault. My fault, yeah. And there was my dad, my dad's friend Jerry's great, big, beautiful Lincoln that had been repainted, and I was driving it to meet up with Jerry, and I was looking at a map and not at the road, and I rear-ended the back of a great big pickup truck and destroyed Jerry's beautiful Lincoln. And I know some of you right now, you're wondering, where in the world did I park in Manor Church parking lot, and am I near John anywhere? You're okay, I park way back there. You're safe. My dad and mom lovingly, graciously, got me a good used car. In spite of all that, they got me a good used car my sophomore year of college. And then again, the first year Nance and I were married, just to help us out, they graced us. Such grace I did not deserve. Who do you think you are? You are lavishly graced. You are lavishly graced. Our Heavenly Father, His Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they pour so many rich resources into us so that we overflow to graciously bless others. Let's experience that grace this week. Let's exude gratitude. Let's express it to others with our faces and with our words and with our time and our resources. Jesus, thank you. Thank you so much for the incredible overflow of your grace. Thank you, Father, for the planning that brought such a wave of grace into our lives. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that your grace is tenacious for us. We thank you so much for such a lavish, lavish overflow, such a lavish outpouring through your blood on the cross, through your grace expressed to us daily. Help us experience it, exude gratitude, express it. And Lord, help us, please, help us keep growing in your grace. We love you. Praise you that you brought us back to life. We didn't deserve it. It's such a great gift. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing about that grace.